Don't leave the door open. Isn't that a good title? Don't leave the door open. Who let the dogs out? Who? All right. Did you find Ephesians 4:27? I'm reading the King James, John 14:20 or 30. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Now, let's try that over again because somebody's really messing up my television program. We got some editing to do. Let's start all over again. All right. Ephesians 4:27 and John 14:30. Two texts of scripture I'm giving you for this teaching. Authority of every believer, don't leave the door open. Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27 says, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving us this word. John 14:30, the Apostle John records the words of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. He said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, the word prince in the Hebrew, the Greek, is the word ruler. Ruler of this world cometh and had nothing in me. And you better make sure that if he comes to you, that there's nothing in you that will open the door for his operations in your life. That's why it's so good to live a sanctified life in the Lord. Paul is saying neither give place to the devil after he talked about a whole bunch of stuff that we shouldn't be living like or doing. Now, to introduce a little bit more, the most damaging or one of the most damaging things that we have ever taken in or received as a truth, and that is that God is in control of everything. And he's in control of your life. He's in control of your business. He's in control of your household. He's in control of you. But that's not really Bible. There are many good believers who actually believe this truth or this lying understanding, that everything going on in the world right now is God's will and God's plan. That's what people understand. Even if there's a lot of destruction around their lives, they say that, God sent sickness on me in my life. God has killed my relative or whatever, so that I can come to Jesus. And they say, I'm lacking because I'm learning something. I don't have enough resources. I can't make ends meet here. And God's trying to teach me some lessons of humility by giving me poverty. He's giving me lessons of so that I can learn patience. And yes, God is actually in control of the universe and everything. Ultimately, the plan will unfold one day where God's will be actually done. But he's not in control of everything. Satan, at this moment, he's the landlord of this whole world. He's stolen this world from Adam, the Bible says. He stole it by deception. And if you're not careful, he'll steal from you by deception whatever God promises you in the Bible. Nothing said, nothing done. If you don't say something, if you don't do something about it, your rights will be taken away from you, both spiritually and naturally. You have to stand up for your rights. You can't just let the devil walk all over you or people to walk all over you. People are rising up today I watched all over the world, people are rising up against the Islamic regime. They're saying, we had enough. We want democracy. We want freedom of choice. And there are some governments who are trying to take over the world, take over other countries so that they can control it for their own good or resources. And, people are dying in different countries because of that. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Now, if you don't do anything about your life, whether conditions are against you, if you don't start doing something about it, nothing will be done. And maybe you've left the door open that the devil has access and come in your life somehow, and he's disrupting, trying to steal from you, trying to destroy. And so here, Jesus is talking to his disciples, his followers, and that's you and I. He said, truly I tell you that whatever you forbid, everybody say forbid. Whatever you forbid and declare improper and unlawful on earth. Now, are we living on earth? We're earthlings. We're living here. If there is anybody from somewhere else, please identify yourself. Okay, so whatever on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare improper and lawful, and lawful on earth must be already permitted in heaven. So, there are laws. God put some laws here for us to operate under. And there's a law of faith as well that we need to operate. When he says, in the King James says, whatever you declare, whatever you call unlawful on earth will be called, in heaven. Now, he's not talking about the heaven where God lives. The Bible talks about three layers of heaven. And there's the heaven just above us, where the stars are and so on. And there's another heaven above that where the enemy, the Bible calls in Ephesians, it gives us a picture that he said there are wicked spirits in the heavenlies. That's what he's talking about, that heaven there where they're trying to come through that and enter this world and enter people. And he has spirits here that are trying to get into people's lives. And if we declare them to be unlawful in our lives, Jesus takes care of the ones up there. Because we don't live there. Jesus is raised above all power over all heavens. Now, there's a third heaven where God is. Paul said he went there. It's the third heaven. He called it paradise. Remember that? I think it's 2 Corinthians over there. I believe it's the 12th chapter somewhere. But you don't have to go there now. But he talks about the third heaven. And he said he saw things there that he can't explain. He has no words to explain it. In fact, even the prophets talked about things that they couldn't understand. They tried to explain it to us. Some things we can't understand now. But one day we will, right? There's some things we can understand about heaven. God gives us that glimpse of it. So if you don't do anything here on earth about the devil, he can't do anything in your life. I said, he can't do anything in your life. If you allow the devil to do whatever he wants in your life, that God's not going to come and just come and force his way in your house and make you do something. All of a sudden, he forces you to go and go to Dairy Queen. Whatever. God's not going to force you to do something. God's not going to force you to go to church. Right? He doesn't force you to do anything. He doesn't force you to give money to his ministry, or when we say tithe or offerings. He doesn't force you. You have a choice. He doesn't force you to pray. He doesn't slap you on in 4 o'clock in the morning, get up and pray. No, it's up to you to yield to God and to follow his word. So if you don't do anything, in fact, if you don't pray, Holy Spirit is not going to make you pray. He's your helper. He'll do what you do. An angel's not going to do anything unless you say something. Right? They're not going to do something unless you say something. They hearken to the voice of his word. If you put the word in your mouth, they're going to do something good for you. The word in your mouth is like the word in Jesus' mouth. The word of God is true. It's powerful. Amen? So, if you don't do anything about the devil, nothing will be done. All scripture, all New Testament tells us, instructs the believer to do something about the devil. For instance, James 4:7 tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you don't resist the devil, he's not going to flee from you. You have to do something. You're the understood subject in that verse of scripture. You do something about the devil. You don't say, God, please do something about the devil. Please help me. That's a fruitless prayer. Or you don't tell the Holy Spirit, please do something about this. No, he's telling you, he told you to do something. He has no authority here in your life or on earth unless you do something. God only has access to this earth through you. Come on, is this brand new to you? This is strange hearings. No, it's the Bible. We need to understand what the scripture says, because people blame God for a whole lot of things. They say, oh, God's doing this, he's doing... No, he ain't. Not our God. Well, God took him. God killed him. He's not going around killing anybody. People say when somebody dies, oh, the Lord took him. Well, he had to take him. What you gonna do, leave him there? I mean, he did some things that, you know... The Bible tells us we can shorten our lives or lengthen our lives. You read Proverbs in different places, it says you can lengthen your life or you can shorten your life. The Bible says fools, they don't take care, they just do whatever they want to do. You know, if the doctor told you, don't smoke, you shorten your life. Or stop eating. That's a hard thing to do for some folks, I'll tell you. Brother Aiken used to say, there's some people just, they're killing themselves with their own teeth. Amen. that's kind of truthful in a way. I mean, that's kind of a funny way to say it, but in fact, there's some people here. Better start doing it today. Now, if we don't do something about, the doctor told me the other day, he said, you better stop eating sugar. I said, you better stop. You better shut up. No, I didn't say that. But all writers tell us in the Bible, Peter is a key person who instructs us. He tells us to resist the devil. We're going to see that scripture later. Peter says, resist the devil. Stand against him. Resist him with your faith. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. 10, 11, and 12, too. It says all in there. It's in there. Read it. Pastor Hagin tells us, it's in there. Go ahead and read it. I can't give you every scripture. We only got a couple of minutes. Amen. James, we just read to you, James, he's a major writer too. He says, resist the devil. We read you Ephesians. Ephesians there, Paul tells us, we can don't leave the door open for the devil. We don't have to yield to him. What does he say? Neither give place to the devil. That means you can give place to the devil. You can open the door and let him in. Come on in, devil. Well, how are you doing that? Well, people are doing it, but they don't know they're doing it. So we're going to show you some things. Show you a few tricks to try tonight, starting right away. No, there's no tricks about it. This is it's the truth. Okay, so in fact, you know, Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about Holy Spirit. You know, Romans 8:26 talks about Holy Spirit comes to helps us in our prayer. And when we do not know what to pray for, he comes to help us pray. We don't know everything about how to pray for something. But we could only pray for what revelation we have and pray along those lines. But there's some things that we don't know how to pray about. You know, I always use different things. You know, if you're looking for a job, you don't know which one to pick. And you actually really don't know. You don't know what you want. So you lay out these plans and you say, Lord, I don't know what I want. Do I really want to do this? Like for myself, I can only tell you what I did. I had five jobs I applied for and one I really wanted. And there's one I really didn't want. So I prayed a dangerous prayer like many people do. Lord, just I'm following your will. Just do whatever you want to do. Send me wherever, but don't send me over here. And he sent me there. That's what I thought, you know. But I ended up somewhere where I didn't think I was going to go. But I did learn something there. In fact, the Lord had to take me out of town so that he can talk to me more. Get me away from a familiar place, just like he did with Abraham. He said, Abraham, get out of town. Leave your family. Go out of town. Go somewhere else. Sometimes people has to get you out of town for a while. Now, so Romans 8:26 talks about the Holy Spirit comes to help us pray. So if you don't pray Scripture, and if you don't pray in the Spirit, he can't come to help you. He can't help you pray about things you don't know about. Say, for instance, somebody wants to marry somebody, to get invited to marry somebody. How many of you got invited to marry somebody in life? Some of you have. Some of you haven't yet. You know? So what if you said, let's take, for instance, Grace here. What if Grace had Bob and Bill and John asking her to marry? And she don't know which one to pray for, ask, you know, she said, I love all of them. Amen, right? What if you loved all of them? Well, I like him, he's got nice hair, personality's good, he's got lots of money. But, you know, this guy, John, he don't have much money, but he's really cute. And he has Scripture. And the other guy, I'm not too sure about. But she says, Lord, I want to marry them, one of them. So she can pick whatever she wants and naturally, but she's got to pray in the Spirit. So she can make a good decision. And I believe you can make a good decision to marry Paul. Because he knows Scripture. So here's something else you need to see. Hebrews chapter 1, 14, the Bible says something here that are not all ministering spirits, that's angels, sent forth to minister for. Ministering spirits, minister for. In other words, the angels will do something for you. Now, you can't just say, get me some pizza. That's not in there. But they'll do what the Word of God says. Right? They'll follow. If you get to quote Scripture and pray and begin to say what God says in His Word, and they'll do what the Scripture says. Only what the Scripture says. And whatever God wants you to do. So their ministering spirit sent forth for them who shall be heirs of salvation. We're all heirs of salvation. Huh? Look at Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. Are you guys doing okay? Okay. Is this far too much to say, well, this is really too much tonight? I'm just too full. I can't take any more. I can't stand it. It's too much. Well, some people just say, yeah, bring it on. Yeah. Okay, so watch this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. No, it didn't say that. He says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. What did they do? They do his commandments. Man, the heat is just blowing so hard, like I'm getting dizzy here. Okay. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. That's okay. That's okay. I'll survive. Because there's some older people here. In that section over here. I just sense an older crowd in this section that are actually cold. Get them a blanket. They need extra blankets over here. Are not all... No, that's not the right scripture. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Well, who's going to be speaking the word? The angels? No, you. You speak the word, they'll do something. But if you just keep swearing and cursing, right? They're not going to move. They say, why aren't the angels moving? Because you haven't spoken the word in days, weeks, months. So you have to begin to say what the word says. If we get to confess the word, they'll start operating. Everybody say, they'll start operating. But not on their own. They're voice activated. Yeah, they are. You speak, and they'll do something right away. I always say, angels. I might have had a day off today, though. Go and help our people here at Faith City. If somebody needs help, we send them, protect them. And I send them out because I'm a pastor. I pray for you every day. Sometimes I don't pray as hard for you, but I do pray every day. Some days I pray even stronger. So we pray. So God is not controlling you. He's not controlling you. Over here, let's go into Joshua 24, 14 to 16. It says here that God gave us a free will. He gives us freedom of choice. And he wants us to make good choices. He says, verse 14, Joshua 24, we'll start there and go to 16. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So God brought them out supernaturally out of Egypt, just like he brought you supernaturally out of the kingdom of darkness. And you didn't even know you were controlled by Satan, and you were wandering around in the desert, and you didn't even know God, the devil, was there controlling you all the time. But you always said, oh, it's my choice. I can do what I want to do. But really, the devil was behind different things. Verse 15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve those gods on the other side of the flood, he says, your ancestors serve, or are you going to serve the God of Israel, the God who delivered you? That's a choice. Now, God's not going to force you to serve him. Whatever that looks like in your world, in your life right now, there's something that God wants you to do. It's not going to be the same for everybody. We only have so many toilets to clean. All right? You only got so many parking lots to clean. Only so many chairs to clean. There's only one pulpit. We could all grab one pulpit each and go around here. Right? Everybody can be the lead singer. Somebody has to back them up, play the drums. What if everybody wants to play the drums? Well, Steve would like it, but, you know, not everybody can. Everybody has a different thing. It looks different for you, but it's the same plan. So he says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a decision that he's going to serve the Lord. He's going to make a direct, you know, decision between him and God that he's going to lead his family into the things of God. Whatever you do, eventually, whether or not your kids follow you right now, they'll eventually follow you. Amen. Even if somebody leaves here, they've been here for years, they're going to come back. They'll follow. God's word always comes back. In verse 16, the people said, the people answered God and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He gives you these things, but he tells you which one is the better one. Choose life. Notice this, that you and your seed shall live. In other words, your decision to follow God affects your family, affects the people that are around you. Your lifestyle, your decision to follow God affects the closest people in your life. That's a good scripture to get. And stick with it, because not everything falls over and comes in manifestation overnight. Some will take weeks, months, even years, maybe even decades, but eventually they're going to come. If we stay with the Word. Say, I'm sticking with the Word. So we get to pick what to do. God gives us your choice. He don't force you. And so, he says here, Colossians 1:13, the Amplified Classical, he says, Father, the Father has delivered us and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. That's the kingdom of darkness. The devil wants to control you. And if you give him a chance by deception, he will control everything about your life. He's all about lying, stealing, deceiving. You know, that's what he's all about. That's his nature. And if you follow him, you'll take on the same nature and you'll do all the same things he wants you to do. And so it's up to us. So the devil is in control only by deception. People don't know it. They say, "Well, I'm in control," but they don't know. I used to think that, but after I saw Scripture, I realized a lot of Scripture says that I was deceived. I was blind spiritually. Go over here to Ephesians 2:1-2, the Amplified Classical. Here it says. And you, everybody say you. He's talking about you. He says, and you he made alive. When you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Before Jesus came to your life, you were dead spiritually. You didn't know anything about the things of God. You're the walking dead, zombies. Spiritually speaking, you didn't know what you were doing. You thought you knew, but you didn't. You were deceived. You believed so much in what you're doing that you thought everything was okay. I thought I was. I said, I went to church. I'm born again. I was baptized. I was baptized in church. I went to church every Sunday. I went to communion, confession. I did the sacraments. I helped whatever I did. I thought I was saved. I wasn't saved. Until the door opened, the scriptures opened my eyes, that I was not saved. I was not ready to meet Jesus. And I was afraid. Verse 2, in which at one time you walk habitually, you followed the course in the fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince and power of the air. That's that same prince Jesus is talking about. Same one. The prince of the air. Prince in the power of the air is called here. Jesus said, unless you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. I'll take care of that prince in the heavenlies. If you permit it, I'll have to permit it. If you don't do something on earth, I can't do anything on earth, in heaven. I remember the story, Brother Hagin. He had a vision, and Jesus appears to him. He said, I got some things to tell. I want to tell you about authority. And so while he's talking to Jesus, a demon comes up between him and Jesus and started yakety-yak, started screaming and yelling. And every time he yelled, a puff of smoke would go between him and Jesus, and he couldn't see Jesus' face, even to kind of read his lips to figure out what he was saying. He said, doesn't Jesus know that I can't get a word? He's saying, I need to hear this. And so he got desperate, and he said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And that spirit fell on the floor, kaplop, and he began to whimper and be afraid because he used the name. And Jesus turned to him. He said, if he didn't do anything about the devil, I couldn't. And for three times, he said, no, I'm not getting this right. If I didn't do anything, you wouldn't. No, Jesus said, no, I couldn't. Then he said, no, I'm getting you wrong. I can't understand you. He said, no. Jesus said, if you didn't do anything about the devil in your life, I could not. Unless we do something. He said, in my writings in the epistles, he said, every one of the guys there writing always told the church to do something about the devil. He didn't tell me to do something about the devil. He didn't tell God to do something. It doesn't say that in there, that you pray to God and tell him to do something about the devil. Pray to Jesus and tell him to do something about the devil. Tell the Holy Spirit. Pray and ask other people to do something about the devil in your life. There's too many people that are depending on other people to do their praying for them to take authority in their lives when they should be responsible for their own lives. And so we have a whole slew of people asking everybody to pray for them, and they're not cleaning house, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're abdicating their responsibility of their spirituality themselves. And they want everybody else to do it for them because it's much easier to put somebody else, give them that responsibility. You do it. Pastor, you do all the praying. You pray for me. Well, yes, we pray for you. But if you don't pray yourself, then there's other things not going to happen, even if we do pray. Are you getting something out of this tonight? Or it's already 8 o'clock, the hockey game's on. And yeah, they give me half an hour usually here. We'll be done in a moment. I realize there's kids in the house and old people. And they go to bed early. Some people say, oh, man, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. The church is tiring me out. We got long services. And they go home and watch the next picture 4 hours straight. They said, oh, that ministry helps. It's so tiring. They come for an hour and a half and they would do something. And they blame the church. I'm quitting the church. They're trying to make me a slave over there. The devil says, quit. Yeah, you're right. So the prince and power of the air says, following the prince and power of the air, you are obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that's still constantly at work in the sons of disobedience. If we're disobedient to, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean this is not going to happen to you. If you go back in there, they'll control you again. If you're a drinker, a smoker, a mess arounder, whatever you're doing, they'll come back in there. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you cast the devil out of someone and they go back to it, they're worse than they were before. Peter says, it's like a dog going to eat his own vomit. A pig going back, jumping in the mud. And so, I tell people all the time, and I tell myself that, if I don't watch myself, I can be out there. I haven't had a drink for 45 years. And it's like I never drank in my life, ever. It's like it never affected me. You know, it's like, you know, when they threw the Hebrew children into the furnace, they come out smelling squeaky clean. Nothing was wrong with them. They didn't get burned, they didn't get sick. And Jesus helped me to the point now, it's like I never drank before. I never was an alcoholic. I was never a drug addict. I didn't stiff, smoke, pop pills, whatever. Sometimes, on a hot summer day, that beer in that, you know, can when it's all sweating, oh, go ahead and have one. You need to relax. It comes only for a while, but I have to get out of there. I was at a number of weddings. I was on a wedding assignments for the whole month of August. I couldn't do anything. Couldn't move around. Everything I'm turning around is weddings. So I went to all these weddings, and I started hanging around with these people. They're drinking away, champagne. I'm sitting there. There's a big bottle of booze in front of me. All of a sudden, you know, I start thinking, maybe I should take a slug of this thing. See, that's how easy it is. Now, I don't go around and sit with the boys after the hockey game, which I used to. We used to sit around, oh, boys, they're going to go for it. Let's go. Just drink some pop. And pretty soon, my friends, they start, the ones who weren't drinking, they start drinking. Oh, let's just drink 0.001 alcohol. All of a sudden, now they're drinking solid beer. It doesn't take long to go back to it. And I heard people that I know as Christians who were serving in the ministry, they're walking out to the bar room with a beer store with a case of beer. Because other people saw them and said, hey, I saw brother so-and-so, he's got beer drinking. Well, it couldn't be grandma's because it's got to be theirs. The way you used to be, he'll come back there. You be careful now. So there's a big lie that God's controlling everything. No, he's not. If you relinquish your authority and open the door, and Satan will come right in there. So who's in control? We know the Bible says, and in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. The God of this world, Satan. The NLT says of that fourth chapter, Satan, who is the God of this world. The New Century Version says, the devil who rules this world. How much crime is there in heaven? You think they're bombing each other in heaven? How much racism is there? How much lack is in heaven? There's none. Because Satan's not up there controlling everything. But he's here controlling things that's going on in the world. He's calling all this problem that we're having today. So we got to learn how to take our authority and be in control. As I read the scripture earlier, I went to it, I mentioned it, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. Like, he can devour you, but he doesn't have to. You make that decision by the way you live, by the way you put into your mind, and by standing up to him. You must resist him. 1 Peter 5:9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, or steadfast with your faith. Stand firm against him. 1 Peter 5:9 says, New Living says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. That's a new living. So, you know, he tries to tell you that, you know, that he can just do whatever he wants. He can't just do anything he wants. I don't know about you, but he comes to talk to me regularly. Tells me what he's going to do. Tries to threaten you and says, I want to kill you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that to you. But he can't unless you let him in and cooperate with him. Say, oh, yeah. You know, he's going to do it. No, he won't do it. You have to allow him to do that. Let's go to read over here for a second. I'm going to show you something, how you let the devil in. How many of you want to let him in? Okay. I'm going to show you how not to let him in. Okay, Ephesians. I'm not going to show you, but the Bible will. Ephesians 4, and let's go and read. Let's see here. Starting from verse 22. I'm reading the King James Version. We don't want to open the door to the devil. Now, I have much more to say to you, but you can't bear it now because there's so much in here. There's not enough time. You know, so, okay. Verse 22. What did I say? Ephesians 4? Are you sure? That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. The old man. Remember Paul says in Galatians, my old man was crucified with Christ? That's his old self, that's his old flesh, died on the cross with Jesus. That you put off. No, he's saying you put it off, you put that old man away. The former conversation, he's saying your old manner of lifestyle. Can we just see that for a second in the Amplified? It's the conversation, it doesn't... You know, it makes no sense. Strip yourself of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which is characterized by your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. Okay, so he's telling us we could put this off because the Bible tells us our flesh is dead. We have to consider it as dead. Now it's there. But your spirit should be the one that's making decisions now, not your flesh, not your feelings, not your emotions. Watch this. That you put off concerning your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, that's your spirit, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, turn to your neighbor and says, don't lie. See, that's how you let the devil in. By lying a little bit, a little white lie. Okay, I'm going to lie. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to kill anybody. It's not going to tell the full truth here. I'm going to exaggerate a little bit. You know, I might tell the whole thing. But I just, you know, so you what you're doing is you're being deceived. Putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 26, be angry. Okay, so anger opens the door to other things. It's not a sin to be angry, but when you're angry, you could open the door to doing different things. Like when you're angry, that's not a sin. It's a feeling. It's what you do with it, right? So, putting away, be angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down upon your wrath. Wrath is a little bit stronger than angry. I mean, you're just really getting angry now. Just boiling. When you think about it, you just boil up. You ever sit in bed thinking about somebody that hurt you or something going wrong and you just boil up? You got to jump out of bed. You got to get cold. No? Neither give place to the devil. So that's what he's talking about. So you never give place to the devil. Lying in anger is two places. Lying in anger is two places. You do that. And it goes into resentments and all that kind of stuff. Verse 28. Here's how you continue to let him in. Let him that stole steal no more. Stealing opens the door. How many people steal things? You know, they think, oh, I'm just going to take this little thing here and... It's just a pen. Next thing, they got a box of pens in their garage. There's a whole pile of pens there. Where'd you get all those pens? Oh, yeah, I just collect those. But it says company on there. Okay, if you can steal a pen, stealing is stealing, no matter if you stole one pen or 1,000 of them. Right? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication. That's vulgar language. You know, you let the devil in with your words, right? Let him in. And you just say whatever you want to say. I can say what I want to say. No, you don't. Read Proverbs. You just open the door. You can cut your own throat by open up your mouth. People say things, oh, you know, every fall I get the flu all the time. Never fails. And they get the flu. See what I told you? I got the flu. You know? I can't help it. No, you can help it. Well, I get mad all the time. I just can't help it. No, you can help it. Pastor Hagin, Brother Moore used to tell us in school, he said, I counsel many people at Rhema. A big guy, you know, he slaps around his 120-pound wife. And he's like 6 foot, 240 pounds, to slap around. He said, I can't help it. But then he goes to jail. Or there's people the same size as them, much stronger, and then all of a sudden he can control his anger. No, you can control the anger. You not control the anger, you know, because you don't want to. You say whatever you want. People say, oh, I take pride. I just say what I want to say. You know, I just tell it like it is. No, you don't. You're not supposed to tell it like it is. You're supposed to tell it like the Bible says it is. That everybody's lovely and nice. Even if they're not nice, you say, you better hold on there. I want to pray for you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God where you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, if you're bitter, you open the door to the devil. Oh, you know, every time I think about that person, it just gets me mad. And I was telling my wife, I said something there, you know, every time somebody mentions his name, I spit on the ground. I got that from a song. And I found it from, I went to Spotify and found Simon and Garfunkel's song. I think me and Julie are done by the schoolyard. Go and listen to it tonight. That's your homework. No, I'm just kidding. I know some of you think it's horrible to listen to Spotify. Forgive me. And then you get bitter. Okay, wrath is another stage of anger. Anger, clamor, man, you're really mad, insanely mad now. And evil speaking be put away from you, evil speaking. You know, evil speaking could be statements of unbelief. With all malice, that, you know, you want to get, I'm going to get even with that person. I'm going to tell you something. I know they're going to get it. I'm going to pray they get it. You know? And it says, be kind to one another. Profanity is negative words. Belittling people with words hurts people. And that's not good. That's corrupt communication. Words contain things. You know, we used to say when we were kids, sticks and stones, you know, will hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. No, that's not true. Names will hurt you. It'll stay with you forever. They tell you you're stupid, you're no good, and nobody wants you. That stays with you forever. You know, you can let the devil, as a Christian, use you to hurt somebody. And you can be a carrier of somebody who is being let the devil use you. I'm going to finish off with a story. There's so many things here to talk about, but let me just close in with this story. There's a story about a Rhema minister. He let the door on. He said this. There was a Rhema graduate who was going to quit the ministry, and so he was discouraged, disgusted, and so on, mad, that he wasn't appreciated and celebrated in his church like he thought he would be. So he's mad at the congregation. And that he said he's going to, I mean, he poured his sweat and blood in the ministry, in the church there, building the church. And so he called the ministerial office at Rhema because he was going to leave. He said he felt the people there weren't appreciating him in the way he thought they should be. And all he said, you know what the people did and all they did for me in all those years I was there? They gave me a picture of a 5x7 picture of Jesus. He said, that's all they gave me. I worked there for years, and they gave me a gift. He said, here's a picture of Jesus, 5x7. And he's mad. I mean, he put his life in this thing. How would you like a picture of Jesus, 5x7? Is that going to fill up your gas tank? Put your foot on your table? Thank God for it. I mean, that's probably not even that Jesus anyway. So, anyway, so that man, the one on the phone answered him, the leader of the Rhema church the Rhema office. Rhema is actually different from the Rhema church. He said, I thought God led you there. He said, you can't be led by feelings. You're mad. You're angry at the people. You're resentful, and you're doing all this stuff. And he said, you can't be led. I thought God led you there. And now you're allowing your feelings to control you to leave, and the devil is working in your life so that if God sent you there, he wants you to stay there. And he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we do suffer things in ministry. In church, sometimes we suffer things in church, and we let the devil into our lives, but because we're angry at somebody, because we resent somebody, we let him in, so we get bitter. We think those people ought to know better, and those people, we judge them, we say all kinds of stuff. If they don't come and ask me to forgive them, that's it. I'm cutting them completely off of my life. You're not going to be in my life anymore. You know? And he said, the guy says, I thought God led you there. He didn't say, I'm going to lead you there until everybody's mean to you. Then you can leave. You know? 1 Peter 5 says, but the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Now, we don't like the word suffer. This minister could have quit. You know, he blamed people for, you know, it doesn't matter what God does or what people do or don't do, is what God told you to do. That's all, it makes all the point, right? It makes it more important. If God told you something, that's what he told you. If he led you there, he led you there. When I went to Rhema, I went there and I didn't like anything about the church because I like, you know, Hillsong and, you know, that kind of music, and they were singing these country southern gospel. I didn't like that stuff. Man, I'm a rocker. I like rock music better, the style of rock music. Like, I'm not an AC/DC kind of guy. But I never even listened to that when I was unsaved. I never listened to rock music. I wasn't a rock guy. But country gospel, or just gospel, like country music. I like country music, the style and stuff. I was kind of like rocky country. Okay, so he could have left, but he had to think about it because he's opening up the door. So when I went to Rhema, I said, okay, I'll go to school here. I don't like Pastor Hagin. I don't like how he is and how he preaches, and he's not even a teacher, he's a preacher. I don't like preachers, I like teachers. So I'm going to go to Bob Yanyan's church. Or I'm going to go to a church on the move. There's a great pastor there, I like that church better. And I'm going to go around, there's all kinds of churches. So the Lord talked to me. He said, I sent you there to sit under that ministry to learn something. He said, if I want to send you to somewhere, I would have sent you over there, maybe to Billy Joe Doherty's church, and, you know, somewhere on there, you know, Church on the Move or somewhere on there. But God says, I want you to sit there, and I want you to listen. I want you to listen to Pastor Hagin, serve him. Brother Hagin said, you know, he's working for me. Lynette and Ken's working for me. And so I started taking attitude about it, and I started saying, okay, Lord, if you want me there. But the thing about it, if I would have followed my feelings, imagine what I lost. And I've seen so many people at Rhema, graduates, that I could count on one hand that are in the ministry that I know of our people that pastors, one hand that actually start churches and went into ministry and are serving full time. Now, my wife and I, we left. We had a split while we were away. But I went back. I was mad. I said, I ain't going back there. Those guys, I'm not going back there. And my wife cried every day. She was so hurt that why would somebody, you walk with them for so many years, turn away from you, say all kinds of bad things about you, accuse you of something. So we were talking about that. Oh, man, I'm just so hurt. And she cried every day. But good old Spock didn't cry. I shed a couple of tears. I mean, I was mad. I was more mad than anything else. I said, they don't deserve me. I'm going somewhere else. I should have known better. So, you know what? I could have just left that. What if we just stayed mad? What if she would have stayed? What if she's kept hurt? What if she kept hurting? She said, I'm just so hurt. But the Lord healed us. He healed us completely about it. Now, it's wonderful that God can do that. And I've learned to trust people. We can't stop serving God because what somebody did to us or didn't do for us. I said, I'm going to be here. The Lord had to correct my attitude a lot of times when I was in this church. Whether there was a few people or a lot of people or no money or a lot of money, I had to serve anyway. And in fact, we had to take a job to keep this job for 18 years. And so Pastor Higgins said, do whatever you have to do the ministry. And so we took the job. And we stayed. We didn't get bitter. Now parade me around the room. I was just kidding. I only know myself. I don't know about you, but you have your own things to deal with. So I'm not going to leave because you're not here. I'm going to be here whether you're not here or not. If a few people or a little bit, because the Lord told me to be here. He didn't tell me to go run around different churches and find out the most exciting thing. I promise you this about the Lord. If you stay here, you'll never miss anything in the world. God will bring to you what you need to hear and what you need to do in this church. Don't let the devil take you out. Close the door on him. Let's all stand. I took 26 extra minutes. Lord, we want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and thanksgiving for what you're doing in our lives. We praise you and thank you that we will not allow the devil to enter our lives because we're angry, because we're living some like we used to in our old past. We're not going back to the old Elton John records or whatever that brought us back into stuff. There's nothing wrong with different things that people are doing, but there are far more things that are weights that's causing people to skip out on the things of God. And so we're determined that we're going to serve the God on this side of salvation, not on the other side of salvation. And there are things in our lives and places we've never been before, but other people have been there, and they're going to help us get through that rough time or that rough situation that we're going through. Maybe some of us are going through for weeks on end. Some of us have been going through for months. Some of us have been going through for years. But God, we trust you. And maybe it's taking longer because we've been unfaithful by saying things that are wrong or not doing the things we should be doing. But our eyes are on you. We're trusting you. You're a wonderful God.